Welcome back, everybody, to all my comrades and fellow cohorts. You know me, my name is Mike, and I have this platform called The Break Room. Now, Vicky, my guest, I call it The Break Room, B-R-A-K-E, because I feel like in life, we should take time to stop, pump the brakes, and reassess where we are in life and where we're going. You know what I'm saying? So today I have you, Miss Nikki, Miss Darling Nikki.
How's it going?
How are you doing?
Not bad, you.
Good, can't complain. I feel like this is a long time coming of us.
Yeah.
Just chatting it up. We go back to the Skype OVO days.
Yeah, like it's been a while. Like how did we even meet? I can't even remember. It's been a while.
I want to say maybe 2011, 2010 to Twitter.
Yeah, it might have been Twitter.
Yeah, blog era, Twitter era, you know what I'm saying? Like this, we're talking eons ago.
Right. Yeah, that's wild.
We're talking Obama, first presidency era.
Right. But that's real cool, though. That's cool.
Well, you know, I do remember from back then how I found you very interesting back then. What I found about you back then when we first started talking online and stuff is how much of a intellect you are, how creative you would come across and just your opinions and such. I always found you to be unique, not just in presentation, but also just in style. Style is a very big thing about you. One thing that popped out to me about you back then was your style. Even now with the mesh backwards hat and the tee, like it's you. You know what I'm saying? It is you. I don't know if you noticed, but earlier when I our text, I had liked a video. Remember that throwback video you sent me of you making circles for me? We're talking 2010, 2011. You were smoking Almaviva's hookah. I forgot what you were smoking.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You had that short haircut.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did have that phase where I had short hair for a while.
Well, I mean, first of all, women are weird about not getting short haircuts. There was apprehensive about it. It fit you well. So,
Thank you.
So, where were you at back then? Haircut included. Where were you at back then in life?
I mean, it started when I was in high school, is when I first had short hair. Like, my mom was like, hey, you should cut your hair, you know, and have it look like Keisha from Total. I'm like, all right, you know, I was like, cool. And so, that's the picture that we used. You know, we brought a picture of Keisha from Total.
Nice.
And chopped up my hair, and you know it we really liked it. So ever since then I was kind of back and forth, like, you know, I'm sick and tired of having long hair, let me chop it, you know. So I was just at, you know, I'm sick of having long hair. That's really all it was, you know. I just wanted something a little more you know, easier to take care of, because, you know, long hair is easy, is,
you know,
man.
I mean, I can't relate, but
I mean, it's so that's what it was, really. That's all it was at that time. And then now I'm just like, you know, I'm sick of getting haircuts. I just want to let it grow.
Really?
And just let it. Yeah. Now I'm just at, you know, I just want to keep it going. And then, you know.
Your hair looks long now.
Oh, yeah. It's real long. I haven't cut it in maybe 8 years now.
Yeah, I could tell.
So 8 or 9 years? It's real long now.
I could tell you're on some Slash Guns N' Roses tip. Like, it's just
it's real long now. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it going. Because what I want is, you know, once it goes gray, because I, you know, I'm like so against having, you know, chemicals and hair dye in my hair now and stuff like that. Because, you know, just past experiences, it just, you know, it's damaging. You know, and that was another reason why I had cut my hair the last time, because I had actually like bleached, not like totally bleached, but it was a type of bleaching to where, you know, my hair was lightened, and it ended up, you know, eventually, you know, kind of damaging my hair as it was growing out. So that was another big reason why I did a big chop. But eventually when I go gray, you know, I want long gray hair.
Man, you're not gray. I mean, we're still. I mean, I'm turning 40 this year. What about you?
I turned 40 in December.
And you still? So you're 84. So you still don't have gray hairs?
No, I'm 85. Yeah.
I have gray hairs all down here. Like, that means your jeans are fire right now.
Thanks.
You have to have gray, mind you. I don't really care to like to like not have gray hair. I think the gray hair shows wisdom, you know, it shows maturity. So it's dope to have gray hair. But, you know, two things. One, I grew up with an older sister. She's 4 years older than me. So through her lens, through her watching her grow up, you know, I had to literally like learn about the rigmarole of women's hair, how to upkeep hair. And now that I have 3 daughters, you know, my middle daughter, we recently had to like kind of chop her hair a little bit and regrow it because, you know, she was so big into getting braids, you know. She would pull on the roots and get those Jamaican braids where it's like it's strong and pulls and you could tell how like 2-3 months, she left it in too long and like it just started to like, you know, mess with the root and whatnot and the stems. So, you know, we had to like really cut it off pretty much and start anew. And I had to really like take ownership of like, oh shoot, I can't just like willy nilly spend money on getting braids and not really upkeep hair. And I had to really learn about hair health for young women because it's a big thing. You mentioned certain products with chemicals. I'm learning that too. Certain products have cancerous chemicals.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's where Black women, they're dealing with all these different things in the salon that could be hazardous to their health down the line. The hair industry is a big $1 billion industry. Mm-hmm. I feel like not enough men, people in general, but especially men, realize what goes into upkeeping hair. So, you know, I respect that you're saying, screw it. I'm letting it grow. Fuck it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I respect that. Well, you know, you mentioned Keisha from Total. I'm a big Total fan. Love her.
I love Total.
Love Total. Which one? Was it Pam? Who has the claws on their thigh? One of them.
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I don't. Let me see. Let me check real quick.
I think it's the one who's married to
Omar. Yeah, then that's Keisha.
Yeah. That's Keisha.
Yeah.
So Pam is the dark one? I forgot. I always forget. I know.
Yeah. I can't remember which one is Kima and which one's Pam.
Yeah, Kima. Yeah, that's the one, Kima.
Kima,
Keisha, Pam.
But I know Keisha definitely because of that picture, like from when I had to, you know, get that cut. So that I always remember.
Right. So you mentioned high school. Where, to let the people know, like, because most of my people that are listening to me, they're from New York or Tri-State area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, some in Philly. You said high school. Tell the people where you're from, like where you're born and raised, pretty much.
All right. I was born and raised in San Diego.
Oh, so you were from the West.
Yeah. Yeah. Originally, we did do a little bit of moving, not a whole bunch. My dad, he was in the Navy. So he's actually from here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we moved back here when he retired. But I lived in San Diego till I was about 11. Mm. And he got stationed in Japan. I lived in Sasebo, Japan till I was 18. So I went to school there from sixth grade till I graduated high school.
You kidding?
And then moved here to Milwaukee right after. And then been here for the most part since.
What was, maybe back in the day you told me that you spent some time in Japan, but I forgot. It slipped my mind. What was it like growing up in Japan?
It was great. It was really fun. You know, it's really safe there. You know, we were pretty much free to just go anywhere as we please.
Okay.
There was no, like, parents didn't really have to really worry too much about us. You know what I mean? You know, we were always out and about on the trains and hanging out. There was like an amusement park, like right next to our housing area. No, we were way south, the South Island. Not exactly like Okinawa type islands, but Main Island, the southern Main Island.
Wow. So you're saying it was safe and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We were always out and about, you know, walking out into the city and stuff like that. It was actually pretty easy to get around out there.
How was the initial, if you can remember, because you said sixth grade, how was the initial language barrier for you?
It was a little difficult, but you know, a lot of people, you know, they do speak, you know, some kind of English to you. So eventually, as you know, we did learn enough to get around. You know, of course, you know, we had to take some Japanese classes that was required of us in school anyways. So
imagine.
We learned, you know, very basic things, you know, to kind of, Yeah, you know, things like that, you know, just to try to get around, you know, just to make things a little more, you know, easy for us while we were there. You know, didn't have like full conversations, but we were able to.
How'd you get by? Like, in like, let's say you like the. Well, I don't know your preference. As far as dating, but if you
women.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so shout out to Pride Month. It's June.
Right.
So let's say back then, if you knew back then, I don't know how early you knew, like that you liked.
I wasn't like official till I was in my 20s. Like, I was just really like wasn't sure until then, you know. And then it wasn't really. I was pretty frowned upon. And then especially in the military, you know, military families, like.
I can imagine, because I want to ask you, how would you, back then, in Japan, tell someone you like them or you want to get to know them? Like, what
yeah,
was that, like?
that was like a big no, you know, that was definitely a big no, because then it was almost like it was embarrassing to your parents, you know, because, you know, like the military is like, it's like a big community, you know, it's a big community. People talk. It's like high school almost too, you know, everybody yeah. talks, you know, looks at you a certain way and, you know, just stuff like that. And then, you know, just things get around and.
Yeah. People in your business.
You know, exactly. And then, you know, they don't want to be looked at a certain way. Like, even though it's not really you, it's, you know, like, oh, this is how your kid is, you know, it's just
shame.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there was like a lot of people were pretty much everybody that were or perceived as, you know, gay or of some sort where everybody was closeted. Like, that was just a big no.
Sad to hear, because I mean, my life is different. I'm a first generation kid. My parents are from Haiti, so there is that old world mentality, maybe from their lineage, but not really them, but from their lineage. But being in New York all my life, for me, you know, when it's 1997 and Ellen's coming out on her show, she's gonna reveal she's gay, she's a lesbian. For me, I was like, so because. Because, you know, like, if you go, like, downtown Manhattan, you're going to, you know, you're seeing everything. You're seeing culture from different people. Like, for you, it's normalized. But I know my privileged life is different. It's not like
someone
who's a military brat or a Navy person, you know, traveling around in different communities. So I get it. But even in general, like, even aside from orientation or you know, who you are, even in general as a person, as a young kid, like, just making friends, not even, like, love life, but just friends. Was it weird making friends with the language barrier out there in Japan? Like, was it like?
A little bit. It was a little difficult. We did make a few, but it was a little difficult at times. But at the same time, you know, the school that I went to, you know, it's an American school.
So, right.
You know, we had, you know, regular friends.
Cool.
But out in the communities before moving into military housing, we stayed in, a Japanese community. And, we would hang out every now and again with some of the kids, but not too often.
I'm always curious about Japan because architecturally, I like seeing the buildings. I like seeing the homes.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing the structures. You mentioned Okinawa. That's one island I want to visit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard it's beautiful. So I'm always interested to see people who live in Japan, were from Japan, tell me their perspective on it. Since you brought it up, and it is June, so it is Pride Month. I want to ask you, because I want to ask you, you said in your 20s, you really discover yourself or firmly affirm yourself. Now, you or me, both in 85, both born in 85, so we're both pushing 40. I say that because I'm a teacher. I'm in the Bronx. And just the other day, I'm with a colleague, a TA, teaching assistant.
Uh-huh.
And I teach special ed, so I have teaching assistants with me.
Okay.
And this new teaching assistant, she's like, she's born in 01. Should have known 9/11. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like a baby. Yeah, a baby. So she's, I know, a baby. She has nothing to know about life yet. Like, she's just very.
Never been in through the 90s.
Because
the 90s was a great time.
Best time, I would
Man, the music and everything.
I just saw an old anniversary of Salute Your Shorts, like an old TV show on Nickelodeon. And I was like, oh my God, my child is right there in front of me. Like,
right.
But, and I have a 9-year-old, well, she'll be 9 this summer now. So We go on this Paramount Plus app and we watch old Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes, you know, and all.
Yeah.
You know, so like I get to relive some of the stuff through her now. And it's just like, man, you really missed out. I tell her all the time, you really missed out on a great decade. But we'll get back to that because I want to share some 90s lore with you that we both can agree on. But, you know, I'm talking to her, this colleague, and she's telling me about how, like, yeah, you know, I had this job and that job, and I had to take a break. My grandma died, and my therapist told me this. She's like in her early 20s. My therapist told me this and that, and I'm in school now to finish to be a therapist. I'm just like, wow, your generation. And she told me she's also gay. And I'm like, wow, your generation is really, it's really normalized for you, as it should, how naturally mental health is, how natural just being gay is, and just all the things that a generation ago, we were getting better at it from our parents, you know, we were, but some things, some of our elders were still archaic about, you know, what was changing in the 90s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yo, dude, you have a lot of, not privilege, but you have a lot of agency where some of the people in our age group, Nick, still are struggling with, you know what I'm saying? And haven't grown up and grown into with. So it's like, I don't know, have you seen that with people that are younger than you? They're like, how like different they are, how more natural they are about their identity, about who they are. And
yeah, they just feel so free. I'm like, yeah. It must be nice, you know, because I couldn't be that until I left home, you know. And then, you know, and that's the one thing is like, you know, I grew up in a very conservative household. My parents are very conservative. Like, I grew up in a box. Like, they can be crazy sometimes. Like, y'all need to chill. You know what I mean? Like, y'all need to chill. You know, let people live. Like, it is okay. Let people live, because what other people doing have to do with y'all?
I hear you.
But, you know, that's neither here or there.
Where are your parents from, by the way? Where are your parents from?
Well, my dad, he's from here in Milwaukee. My mom is from, she was born in Japan, but raised in San Diego. And then that's where my parents met, in San Diego.
Cool, cool. So yeah, you were, sorry to cut you off, but you were saying how like your parents are pretty much were archaic. Not archaic, that's a bad word, but they were just, they're very old school, you would say.
Yeah. And then, you know, I remember like soon as, because I had joined the military in my early 20s. So that was basically my time to really kind of just discover myself. You know, this is trying to figure out who I am, because, you know, it's like I felt like, you know, I really didn't get much of a chance to be me. And then I just pretty much just went all out. Oh, my God. Just a hot mess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just like just go all out. Like, I just went too much trying to have fun and just, I don't know.
I want to respect your privacy. But let me ask you, give me a way you were able to explore yourself or. Not wild out, but as you put it, just be out there. What were you doing back then? Where were you? What were you trying? What were you into?
It was mainly just a whole lot of partying. Like, I didn't get the whole, you know, like getting to sneak out and go to high school parties with your friends. And I didn't have homecomings and, you know, things like that, or crazy fun proms. We, you know, they had, you know, regular proms, but we only had so much. Everything was pretty limited when I was living in Japan, and I wanted all those experiences, you know, as much as possible. So, man, I was bar hopping and club hopping, and instead of doing my schoolwork and, you know, doing, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing, it was just, you know, I have to have fun. And then, you know, it just ended up being, you know, just a big problem,
right?
You know, and then having to be social and having to be cool, you know, I'm the cool chick, you know, and then a lot of that just starts getting into my head,
right?
You know, and then all my priorities were, you know, just wasn't taking care of my priorities, you know, and then a lot of those bad choices just pretty much caught up to me, you know, as I started getting older. So some things, well, a lot of those things I've taken care of, but, you know, I still ended up having to pay the price for that, you know, years later.
Yeah, Lupe Fiasco has an album called The Cool. And you know, the undertone of that album is like, you're chasing the cool in life, you know, you'll be distracted and you'll face consequences down the line. So,
right.
I get it. I get it. Being young and dumb and full of, you know what, and just like just trying to chase a social high versus taking care of your business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's hard to tell. This is why now, as a almost 40-year-old, anybody young, I try to tell them, yo, do this, don't do that, don't do,
right.
this, don't do that. Don't waste your time here. Do this. Go travel and, you know, make sure you take care of your credit and take care of your finances.
Right. Oh, my God.
Like, don't do what I did. You know what I mean?
I wish somebody was telling me this.
Yeah, I wish an OG was like, yo, I'm going to see you wild at 22, but come here real quick. Like, everybody for me, let me wild out on my own. And then come in later, like, so tell me what happened. I'm like, no, I need you in 08 or 06.
Right. Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
You know, so I can definitely agree with you, and I can empathize with you on those growing pains as a young person trying to figure it out. You in particular, like you mentioned it, like you, because your particular situation of traveling with growing up, you didn't have the Saved by the Bell high school experience of, you know, right. like you said, the homecomings, the proms maybe, and stuff like that. Do you have regrets though about the choice you made or the experience you had from youth, or like you just wear it? Because I think there's no shame in having regrets. You know what I'm saying? There's no shame in that.
I wouldn't say regrets, more like lessons, like just life lessons, because everything that I did lead me to where I am today, and I'm good where I'm at today, you know? So I wouldn't say that I regret it. I mean, I wish at times that I made better choices, but, you know, I'm still very grateful where I am today.
You okay?
Yeah. I was just thinking about it. No, I'm good.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
You can tell me, hey, no, not there.
No. It's happy tears.
It's happy tears?
It's happy tears.
I'm glad it's happy tears. I'm good. They're beautiful tears, happy tears. But, I mean, just your tears show that you persevered, though. I could tell you personally, even just the way you emote and the way you breathe, I can tell you wore a lot and you went through a lot, and it seemed like you came out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a struggle, but it's good. Life is good now.
Yeah,
it really is.
I hope so because in the last, I'm not very the most political person in the world. I am. I pay attention, but I'm not extreme. But I try to tell people younger than me, like, yo, if your shit wasn't right then, get it right now, because the next four or five years is going to be...
Man,
you know
it just started out just weird.
And, you know, like...
it hasn't even been a year yet.
It's been a year. It's barely been 6 months, and you got a cat fight yesterday online of two world leaders fighting it out over nonsense. And it's just like, yo, man, at the same time this is going on, you got people who are older, like losing their Medicaid and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate that, you know, that we live in a world, let alone a country, where you really, from like 5 years old on, kind of hit your shit together. You can't slip. like I wish someone told me back then, like in 11th grade, 12th grade, like, yo, the school you go to, it's gonna matter. The credit card you don't open, it's gonna matter. And,
oh my God, I remember my first credit card. I was like $3,000. At 18.
What were you doing? What were you buying?
Everything. We go into restaurants. I'm buying everybody's meal. Check. Swipe. Max that thing out.
Oh, you buying a bar, huh?
Man, maxed it out ASAP. Couldn't even pay it.
Frivolous spending. Yes. Frivolous spending. I remember being 19, 20 years old, getting my first car. I gotta have speakers. Gotta have that bass.
Right, exactly.
I gotta go to Circuit City or Best Buy, get the tweakers.
Yeah, Circuit City.
Yeah, get the tweakers for the bass, for the speakers, with the woofer.
Like, right.
It was just ignorant spending where it's like, someone should have told me, hey, you know you don't need this, right?
Right. And see, they don't really teach you that in school. You know, finance, like, hey, this is what happens when you have a credit card. They're going to get you.
They don't teach you. Yeah. They don't teach you APRs and right. all that stuff. I would imagine to be skeptical. Probably because they want you to fail.
Right. Because that's how they get their money.
Yeah.
That's how they get their money.
Yeah. They can't make money off you being smart.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So you're growing up in a family that's conservative. First of all, I didn't ask you because you left San Diego at 11 years old. Did you ever have any lasting ties with people from San Diego, or that was it? Like, you're done with that?
That's a good question.
Or was it too young for you?
Some people I ended up reconnecting a little bit through social media. We don't really talk too much, but that's pretty much about it. You know, I have like maybe one or two, you know, people that I'll say, you know, hey, I remember you, you know, type thing. You know, that's about it. But other than that, I have family there.
Right.
You know, I go there, you know, a few times a year, you know, visit my aunt, uncle, cousins, my grandma.
It's funny because I have another colleague I'm thinking about. She's half Filipino and she's born and raised in San Diego. So I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, now she's living in Harlem. I'm like, what the hell are you doing on the East Coast when you had that great weather you grew up in San Diego?
Right, because it snows up there. Ooh, and I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the cold. Yeah, I do not like the cold.
You know snow more than me.
Yeah, it gets cold here.
Oh, I'm going to get to that because climate is a big thing for me. But, you know, with her, I'm always like, yo, why are you here? Why are you so? And she's like, well, my dad's family is from New Jersey, so I would come here for summers, and I like East Coast people. I like the way things move here, whatever. So I'm like,
I get it,
but you're bugging. But I get
right.
Because I mean, right, that's 75 degree all year long weather.
Man.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
The weather there is beautiful there.
I'd be surfing all day. I get a blonde wig, just be like, dude.
Right.
Just to surf. Like, you kidding me? So, nah, yeah, bug it. But you are outside of Milwaukee. Like, when I think about, like, I've been in Chicago as far as the Midwest and Detroit once. I was in Detroit once. Those Midwest winters are no, I'm from the Northeast. I'm from New York. And it's like, in its heyday, it was, you know, blizzard and stuff like that. But you guys take the cake when it comes to snow and cold weather.
Yeah.
How is you're still young. I was a young woman, a young lady. Originally from the West Coast, spent time in Japan. How have you adjusted in the last, 20 years it's been? How have you adjusted to the Midwest Wisconsin weather? What's that like for you?
Oh my God, it's awful. It is awful. You know, the snow isn't too bad. I can handle the snow. It is the cold that I can't handle.
I'll be hearing negative sometimes.
Yes, yes. It's, oh my gosh. It will get so cold that it hurts.
No kidding.
Yeah, like... It's sometimes it gets so cold that you can't feel it. Like, you really can't feel it. It's the wind.
It just cuts you.
Yeah, it's the wind. It just hurts. It just hurts. And then that's how, when it starts getting cold, that's how I'm sure you know too, over in New York, that's how you find out how good your car battery is.
Yeah, yeah.
So does it hit? Yeah, it's like, oh, damn. I need a new battery. But. Yeah, those 20 degrees and lower, like, and those sub-zeros. I remember one year it was like negative 20, negative to negative 50. And it was a state emergency. Nobody's car was working.
It got like, that bad once.
Oh, yeah. It was some type of polar vortex thing that was going on. It was horrible. I was so depressed. I was like, I need to. It was so bad. Like, it gets really cold. Like, the snow is not even, that ain't nothing. The snow ain't nothing. I can deal with the snow. That's fine. As long as they clear the roads, that's fine. It's the cold.
It's the cold. You know, shout out to global warming, even though it's bad for us. And shout out to climate change, because I want to say in the last 10, 12 years, we haven't had that many bad winters like it was in the 90s, mm-hmm. in the 80s, where like it was consistently back then like 10 degrees and 5 degrees and then 18 degrees. It's been okay. It's been like 20s and 30s in the winter times. Now for us, February is like it's a brutal month. Whenever it's February, that's when you're like, oh, here we go. It'll get low. But still, like, has it been like the combination of like crazy low degrees plus snow and all that stuff?
Right.
Not really. Not in a while for us, for New Yorkers. But you're making me remember how one time, like maybe like 15, 20 years ago, it got so cold. I forgot what degree it was, but it was a day where I had mad errands to do. I had a whole list of errands. I'm ready. Got my Tim's on. I got my puffer jacket. No, it was a snorkel. I had a snorkel on. Everything.
Tim's and a puffer jacket. New York.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. I go outside, take two steps. Wind and the cold cut my face. I literally, on the concrete, got to my knees. I crumbled. I said, I ain't doing it. I went right back upstairs. I said, right back to bed. Like, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
So I get it. And that's just one day I can remember.
Right.
Dealing with that constantly.
Every year. But I mean, the past few years, like the past 3 years, they've been pretty a little on the warm side, which was pretty good. Like, it was, which is very relieving. I mean, it was still cold, but I don't even think we had sub-zero temperatures this past two winters for once. Yeah, that's a big improvement. Yeah, I don't remember. Like, maybe at night or, you know, the wind chill or something, but, like, during the day or anything like that, no.
Well, then again, shout out to global warming for
that. Right. Let it get warm out here. Let it.
Flip side, are your summers decent? Is there a nice difference?
Last summer was actually a long, hot summer. We usually have, you know, pretty, you know, mellow, short summers. You know, we might have like 2 or 3 weeks worth of hot weather, and then the rest might be like 60s or 70s. But yeah, last summer was pretty hot and long, unusually long. It was nice. Like, it was to where, like, you know, okay, I'm ready for fall. I'm ready.
It was,
you know. Yeah, it was like, okay, I'm ready. We're good. We got it. We're all right.
You just mentioned to me that you're a December baby.
Yeah.
So that means your birthday is, how do you deal with that then?
Not much anymore. You know, I used to, you know, but you know, it's actually not that cold during my birthday anymore. It used to snow around my birthday.
What day are you?
Like back, the third.
Okay.
The 3rd of December. It used to snow around that time, and earlier, like November, too. And it really hasn't been doing that much in the past years. Yeah.
But yeah, good. I wish you more calm birthdays, because you don't deserve to have that vortex.
Right. Exactly. Oh, God, it's awful. That's so depressing. I'd just be hating this place. It's like, I can't do this anymore. Every time, every winter, I'm just like, I can't do this. I just can't do this.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Just thinking about those Midwest winters, I don't blame you. But you mentioned to me not too long ago, we were talking off mic, off air, how you might be moving to Arizona down the line.
Yeah, that or Florida with my dad. That, right? I don't know what's in the air or in the water down there, but I'm hoping it's Arizona, but it's whatever. You know, it's my dad. He's going to retire, and they're going to move, which I think would be really good for them. And I'm going to move close to them, you know, just to be there for them. Because other than that, there's really no reason for me to be up here in Wisconsin. There really isn't.
Now be careful, because back in like 2004, my homegirl, she left New York to move to Phoenix. And that summer, I remember she hit me up. She's like, yo, Mike. I'm like, what? She's like, my window for my car imploded. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm going to the mall in Phoenix, and it's like a hot day. It's like 15 or 20 degrees. And I had my windows all the way up. I'm like, yes. Uh-huh. And she said the window just imploded. And people around were like, hey, you can't leave your car window up all the way some days here, because the glass will shatter, or the heat is that strong. And
really?
And she was like, hey, like, they were like trying to tell her, hey, it's different heat out here. Like, get used to it. Like,
you have to have your windows open.
They were like, depending on the index or the heat index, you may want to have and don't have your dogs in the car and stuff like that. I'm a pet owner. Or it's a pet.
Yeah, I have cats.
Oh, you have cats?
Yeah, she's actually right here bothering me.
There you go. Yeah, be careful. So I was like, damn, man, you can't win nowhere unless it's like, you know.
Right. Oh, that, you know, see, that's why, you know, I just keep telling my parents, like, we need to get rich. We need to get rich. Because if we get rich, I'm moving back to California.
Tell you.
Look, we need to get rich. Win the lottery. It's like, I want to win the lottery, but in order to win the lottery, I need to play.
Yeah. And,
I need to play, and I have to get playing.
Isn't that how it works? I'd be tight because I read stories sometimes of people who won multiple times. I'm like, why are you playing again? Why are you playing again?
You're greedy.
Yeah, you're greedy. What are you doing? Oh, some people are lucky. I'm not lucky. But yeah, can we have the horror conversation?
Okay.
Because me and you were talking off mic, and you told me that you're a horror buff.
And you, oh my gosh.
And you're a horror fan. And let me admit that I'm a scaredy cat who likes horror.
Really?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I grew up a horror, man. Like, I'm like you, I'm an 80s baby. So I grew up with the Pet Cemeteries and the Man's Best Friends and the Fright Nights. And, you know, I grew up watching horror and Friday the 13th. And rest in peace. What's his name? But that dude who played Chucky, he died.
Yeah, actually, he did.
Actually, no rest in peace to him. You want to why? I read that he had a sketchy situation where, like, he had some minor situation. Mm. So, like, some sexual assault. Something.
That's something, not right.
Something Diddy-esque. Something Epstein-esque. So, you know.
Yeah,
weirdos. So, but, you know, I grew up watching Child's Play, all the classics. I never watched Hellraiser. Never watched Hellraiser.
I've never watched it either.
So, you know, I'd be feeling bad when people bring up Hellraiser. I'm like, ooh, I never did. But, you know, more than not, I watched my fair share of horrors all my life, especially when I was younger. Growing up, I was a huge Tales from the Crypt person.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I had the black box, the illegal cable black box.
Yeah.
I had HBO. So shout out to the 90s again. So, yeah, I would watch, like, everything as a kid. I don't know if you're a gamer. You say you have a gamer headset. I don't know if you are a gamer. Yeah.
I try every now and again play video games. Yeah. Like, I'll play, and then all of a sudden I don't play for months, and then I'll go back to it.
I just sold my PS5. I gave it away. I just sold it off. Like,
really?
I kind of like said, you know what? I'm kind of done, and I've been done for like years. But I kind of said to myself, this is collecting dust. When they make money off of it, so I sold it off. But with that being said, I have memories of like being 10 years old when Resident Evil came out. You know, the zombie game, like. Playing it in the dark and saying, all right, it's time for Mickey Mouse Club. Like, I gotta, like,
all right.
get happy again. And that's what I mean when I say I'm a scaredy cat, where, like, I could stomach and watch horror growing up and now, but I have to immediately, like, wash my brain with, like, something happy.
Right.
So I'm not fully, like, I could sit in horror and that's it. And for the record, I don't even do gore a lot. I'm not a big gory person. So when it comes to like the Rob Zombies of the world, and the Hills Have Eyes and that whole era, like
Terrifier.
Because you'll know this, and you're going to explain in a second.
Yeah.
There's tears to horror. Like, there's tears and there's like levels to it. So like, I can do thriller horror slasher with a little bit of gore. But once I'm seeing you hold organs in your hand and stuff like that,
like
all
the
right.
Saw movies.
Saw straddled that line, you know what I mean? Where like Saw's probably the apex of what I can handle without getting nervous or scared. I can enjoy Saw as a movie with all its gore, be like, okay, that was fun, that was dope. But after that, like that whole, like, you know, that Hills Have Eyes, just
that was nasty.
That kind of tear. Or what's the name of that? What's the name of that movie that Sam Raimi, I think he did in the 80s, and they recently redid it too. I forgot the guy's name, but there's a famous horror movie like from the 80s. Sam Raimi. He's the guy who did the first Spider-Man movies in the early 2000s. Evil Dead Inside. Is that what it's called? Evil Dead Inside or something like that.
Evil Dead Rising.
Evil Dead Rising. That's it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. But I've seen the Evil Dead movie, like 1 and 2.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those
yeah, those were versions. Nasty. Right. Those were just nasty.
Those movies, that kind of tear, it's never been for me.
Really?
It's not for me. So
now the heads are just popping and bursting open and stuff.
I can't get into it. Like, I'm more of a clown from outer space type of person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, killer clowns from outer space. Yeah.
Introduction to horror, your whole thing with horror, why you love it, the whole nine yards. I'm ready to hear it.
Man, it started out. I remember, like, I think I was maybe 2 or 3 years old.
What?
Yeah, that's when it started out. My parents took me took me to the drive-in to see Pet Sematary.
No kidding.
I remember seeing that. I was like, oh my gosh, of all movies, not a Disney movie. Yeah, we're watching Pet Sematary.
It's an epic light.
Right. And it's funny because as you know, me and my siblings were growing up, we weren't allowed to watch R-rated movies or anything like that unless they were horror movies. Like those are the only R. Yeah. So we were only allowed to watch, you know, Disney movies, PG movies, some PG-13 movies, and horror movies. Anything else that was rated R, we were not allowed to watch.
Wonder why that was.
I have no idea. I really don't. Maybe it was like the sexual content or whatever. I have no idea. But like a lot of black movies, I haven't seen a lot of those. I was like all the way as an adult before I was able to see those. Like I wasn't able to watch any of those movies.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Wow. Like on the flip side for me, like I was like 7 years old watching Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood.
Really?
So, like, yeah, so like my dad didn't get it. My dad let me watch Scarface as early as I can remember. He was like, whatever.
I still haven't seen that.
You still haven't seen Scarface. You're not missing much, I'll say that. You're not missing much. Yeah, you're not missing much. But my bad, go ahead.
Yeah, but other than that, like, yeah, because, you know, I was just so used to watching scary movies. Like, it was just happened to be my thing, you know. I'll watch some comedies, dramas. Like, we don't watch dramas, so I continue to not watch dramas.
Also, you don't care about dramas.
Dramas are just not my thing. You know, it's love the thrill of horror movies. It's the thrill, you know. That's what's so exciting about horror movies to me. I love the thrill. Whether it's an actual scare, whether it scares me or not, you know, it's like, oh my God, is it going to be scary? It's like, oh, that ain't scary at all. But, you know, it's the thrill for me. And I'll watch almost any kind of a horror movie out there. I don't care if it's a B movie, 2B, like I will watch it. It will be watched.
First of all, shout out to Tubi because the quality has upgraded in the last few.
Yes, they have. Like it started out as, you know, like just random, you know, iPhone movies, you know.
It had that Tuesday night BET movie quality at like,
right,
like 5 years. But now lately,
right,
come up.
Yeah, they're coming with the hits now.
Yeah.
They're bringing it.
Yeah,
I watch a lot of horror movies on Tubi.
Yeah, I've lately been watching a lot of stuff from this production company called Blumhouse.
Yeah,
Blumhouse. You know Blumhouse, I'm sure. So like, there's one I saw recently with Felicia Rashad. I forgot what it's called, but it was like a mind bender. Because the thing about me. I later in life have stopped watching just straight slasher violence horror movies, unless it's an OG, a Halloween. I'll always come back to it. Like, right, hey, I'll check it out.
Scream, the original Scream.
I haven't kept up with the last few Screams. I know that they didn't want any.
Yeah, I haven't seen the last few. One thing I'm not too big on is remakes. For the most part, remakes, especially if the originals were really good, you know, like Pet Sematary. I loved Pet Sematary. You know, it was one of the first, of course, it was one of the first horror movies I've ever seen. Yeah. But I was so disappointed when I saw that remake. I had high hopes where I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be great.
There was a remake like in the recent years?
Yeah. And maybe about 5, 6, 7 years ago or so. It was awful. Yeah, my God, it was awful. And yeah, it was horrible. And I'm just not big on remakes. I'm just not. I just, for the most part, I won't even like waste my time.
I agree with you. I have the same sentiment, but I got a confession to make. And it could be sacrilegious on how you take this.
Uh-huh.
I like, dare I say, I prefer the 2010 remake. Nightmare on Elm Street over the original.
Really?
I do. It's 15 years ago. So I don't know if you remember it, but in 2010 they did a remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. And I go back to that more than I go back to the original from like the 80s.
I can't remember if I seen that.
it was like, it starts out in our diner, a restaurant, and you know, same thing. Like, following high school kids, the girl, she's blonde, and she's the main person. But of course, they're blonde. Yeah. They're having sex, and they have one black friend. They have one black friend, maybe.
Of course. Yeah.
All the old tropes. But yeah, that one I go back to more because, being an 80s baby, I appreciate movies from all decades, but some 80s movies I feel like it suffered in quality, like cinematography or how it was shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of them were definitely like B movies.
Yeah. So I get like frustrated sometimes watching some old school classics. But, I prefer that one. I prefer that particular remake. But yeah, I'm with you. Remakes in general, it's like, oh man, again, you're doing this or whatever. So, I mean, even recently in the last couple of years, they redid Saw. Like, they did a Chris Rock version or a spinoff. I was like, what are we doing?
They did?
It was called like Spiral or something like that. It was like an offshoot of Saw.
Chris
Rock was a cop. The comedian Chris Rock. He was a cop and he gets trapped into it. And it's just nonsense. So I agree. I feel you. Let me give you my taste. I want to have you judge me on my taste of horror movies. First of all, I agree with you. Pet Sematary is awesome.
Yes, it was great. Stephen King is just amazing.
Well, first of all, before I go off on a tangent, let me ask you, what do you have a favorite Stephen King adaptation or film? There's so many. There's The Mist.
Yeah, The Mist was really good.
There's the Dreamcatcher.
Yeah, Dreamcatcher was all right. I'm not too big on movies where I gotta think. You know, and like those mind games, like, oh my God, because of this happened. And like, and I'm more of like pure entertainment. I just want to be entertained.
You want the roller coaster ride? Let's just
I just want to be entertained. Like, oh my God, that was so cool. Like, I don't want to, you know, have to play Clue, you know, that's one She's reason why I don't like dramas. I don't want to have to figure
dense.
It out.
Nothing too dense.
Right. I don't want to have to work for it.
Right.
I don't want to work for it.
So do you even care? Piggybacking off of that, do you even care about a villain's backstory? Like, does it matter that Freddy Krueger was a janitor who supposedly molested children and the town killed
them? Yeah, you know, a backstory is pretty cool. Like, you know, understanding who they are and why they are the way they are. You know, that's, you know, I appreciate that aspect of, you know, the monster. Because you kind of want to, you know, like, why are you doing this, you know, type
right,
thing.
Right.
But, Pet Sematary, yeah. Rose Red was pretty good. Can't remember too much about it, but Rose Red was really good. I could have sworn I saw some. Was Misery one? Was Misery?
I think it is.
Is that a Stephen King movie?
I think it is. Let me double check, but Misery. I think it is. Yeah, Stephen King, Misery, yep.
Yeah, that one was a really good one. But I think, I'm pretty sure Pet Sematary, but Cujo was a good one. Cujo. Yeah, and Christine.
Christine
was a good one. The car. Christine was hilarious.
Oh my God.
That one was actually kind of funny to me. It's a car. Killer car.
Yeah, it was Stephen King too, and Cujo. I'm not sure about. Yeah, it is Stephen King also. Yeah, the boy got some classics.
Yeah, I would say yeah. Pet Sematary. I think that one was probably the scariest of them all.
Yo, that little baby with a knife in the hand.
Yes, that little baby should have won an Oscar.
Like what the hell? Like, I didn't really care too much for part two.
No, me neither. I mean, it was good. It was definitely good, but it wasn't like I have to see it again.
It's funny. We're almost on the opposite spectrum about this because in my early years of life growing up, I just like what you like. I'll just take roller coaster ride. Let's get to it. Let's just wild out and
run
and go. But now I kind of almost as a crutch need the mind bender psychological thriller / horror because I'm a scaredy cat, which means I need a pace.
Right.
Interrupt the violence, you know what I mean? Because I'm just like, no. Throw a puzzle in there.
Right.
Some time. So I kind of need it in a sense. So like when I saw Saw for the first time, and I've never seen Saw.
Yeah, that's an exception for me.
That's an exception. I was at my boy's crib. It's like 04. And my boys were like, yo, let's go to so-and-so's house. These two girls. They're like, let's go hang out with them. We're going to watch a movie. I'm like, cool. I didn't know what Saw. So I'm like, what's this? And they're like, oh, it's a movie called Saw. And I'm watching. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What's happening here? But I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was creative. I thought it was inventive.
It was. That was really good.
It was unique to me. And I was like, that's my lane. You know what I'm saying? For a popcorn session, too, I love the first few Final Destinations. Say back the first two.
Yes.
I'm hearing the new one. I'm hearing the new one is quality, and I'm shocked to hear that.
Really? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
But they're all pretty good, though.
Yeah. And you know what? I never saw the fifth one, and I heard the fifth one kind of at the end kind of ties things around.
So yeah,
I got to watch that, too. By the way, I don't know how you feel. I don't really care about spoilers. I'm a person that you can tell me the whole story. I'll still go and watch it. I'm not kind of right. Person. Yeah, like I sometimes in the middle of a scary scene, I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, I'll do that sometimes. It's like, you know, this is taking too long. I need to know. I need to know now. Right.
So, you know, when it comes to like horror films today, I definitely rely more on those psychological, not too dense. I don't want to have to do a puzzle mid movie to figure it out, but I want a little bit of mystery attached to my horror. But my biggest subgenre of horror, I don't know how you feel. Growing up, it was vampires, but as an adult, it's zombies.
Zombies?
I'm a big end of the world, post-apocalyptic, zombie horror type of person. I have this whole fascination about end of the world. How's it going to happen if it ever happens? Will it be aliens? Will it be famine? Will it be disease? Will it be a virus? Will it be natural? You know, will it be a world war?
Right.
And I'm always curious about that. And in the horror world, you know, it's been 20 years, 21 years. I can still watch Dawn of the Dead like that. Like if it jumps on, I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing for the next 2 hours. I'm just that type of person. I love zombies. I don't really care for the Walking Dead show. I read the comics. You know, Walking Dead, but I didn't really care to watch the show for too long. I tried it for a few seasons.
Right. It started getting boring after a while.
It got boring after a while. I'm now watching Last of Us as a TV show.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm watching Last of Us.
It's a different kind of zombie it's movie. It's different.
Well, it's different. And I don't know if you know the because it was a video game first. Mm-hmm. And I played a little bit the first one. But it's different in the sense of it's kind of real life scary because in real life, well, and the premise of Last of Us is that they're not just like actual just random zombies. What happens is they are cordyceps. A cordyceps in real life,
yes,
you know, they can infect bugs' brains, you know, insects and just bugs in general. They can enter a bug's or insect's brain and control it as a host,
right?
You know, and kill off the host too. And they've always said cordyceps can exist in those small insects because their bodies, the climate in their bodies, can't fight it off. But as humans, the world is cool enough and cold enough where we can fight off cordyceps. But the idea of Last of Us is global warming is making the cordyceps mushrooms adjust to the climate.
Right, mutating them.
Yeah, mutating them. So eventually it'll do that same to us. And that's freaking scary.
Right. Because it's like, when you think about it, it's like, damn, this could be true.
Exactly. Like, so there is that aspect of it where it's like frightening on a whole nother level. But, you know, I like I said, zombies are my main thing. But I, on the vampire tip, I love Sinners.
Yes. I finally watched it.
You finally watched it. So
yes, it was amazing.
I just bought it digitally. I was that much appreciative of it. I bought it on Amazon Prime. But I'm glad you watched it. So what'd you think?
It was great. I didn't realize that Michael B. Jordan was playing two characters.
Yeah.
Twice. I didn't know that because, you know, all I see is, you know, the like the previews and I'm thinking, oh, it's the same character. No, it's not. But but man, that part when they kicked everybody out, I wasn't thinking about, you know, their safety once they go out and then they all show back, you know, they show up and they're already bit and turned into vampires because they went out there. It was like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. That part was wild. It's like, I didn't think about that. Like I didn't think about the fact that, you know, those vampires were out there. They're going to get every single one of those people that left and they all came back.
pig back with a roar.
But yeah, it was a really good movie. I loved it. It was a different kind of vampire movie.
Were you like me, frustrated with, I'm butchering her name, with the character's name, the Asian lady, the Chinese lady?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
I understand where she was coming from, but just to die?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing, like, and all she did was go after one person.
Right.
Like, she went, like, I could see if she was just butchering, like, bam, 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 you know, multiple people, you know what I'm saying? Like, really doing some damage. No, she just, you know, one person caught on fire and stayed there. She didn't even try to put herself out. She just stayed there and died.
Yeah, like, all that for that? You gonna risk your life for that?
Exactly.
And I would, in that juke joint, I would have told her, listen, your kids are dead. All right?
Right.
What's done is done.
Like, you're not gonna save your daughter while you're dead.
Yeah, anyway. You tell me what good are you dead?
Like, it's over now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now your daughter's dead for real now. Assuming that they actually were gonna go over there.
Yeah, assuming that. Because they're probably just playing you to begin with. But I thought it was dope as a film because I felt like it was obviously a vampire movie, which kind of late in the movie, it really turned up. But I felt like it really also was a movie about the blues, not just the music genre, but actually the characters all dealing with their own blues.
Right.
And having to confront that blues amidst a vampire invasion, you know what I'm saying? So I think it was dope in that respect. A little dense, but still the action of it was fire. It was great. I think Michael B. Jordan, to your point, playing those twins, did a great job.
Right. He needs an Oscar for that.
That old trope of sex still come back to haunt you in horror.
You have to have that in every horror movie. It's it's required.
Yeah, it's required.
It is required in every horror movie.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. But yeah, so as a vampire movie, I think it's up there. It's top-notch in recent times. But let me ask you, like, do you have a favorite in general subgenre? Or as long as...
Yes, possession movies.
Possession? What do you mean possession?
Yeah, movies? Like The Exorcist. That's my favorite horror movie of all time, The Exorcist.
The Exorcist is your favorite horror movie of all time.
Yes, I can watch that every day. Like, I'll watch that for Christmas. I'll watch Christmas movies too, but The Exorcist, that is my all-time favorite horror movie. Like, those type of movies, you know, like The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and I'll watch all kinds of B-movies, like all kinds of B-movie possession movies, like all of that.
Possession.
Yeah. They get any type of movie, you getting possessed by some type of demon, ghost, anything like that. I love those. Those are great. Because they just start acting crazy. These people just be acting crazy. I'm thinking
about The Boondocks. I don't know if you watched The Boondocks series, but I'm thinking about The Boondocks. There was an Exorcist episode with Tom.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
I have.
Uncle Ruckus was like, he'll lie to you. Give him a job application. I was like, yo, this is hilarious. But exorcism, you know, I don't know how I feel about that because I watched Emily Rose in theaters. I grew up watching Exorcism. But I can't think of too many possession movies that I can run to and say, oh, I go to that or I rock with that. Not off the top of my head. Like, there's Damien, you know. I grew up watching Damien. I never saw Insidious, but is Insidious like that? Like Damien, where, like, the boy's possessed? I don't know. You know Insidious? You know that?
Yeah, no. I can't really remember because I've seen so many different movies. Like, some of them, they all kind of just
they all blend together.
I know it has I know it had like a lot to do with like ghosts and spirits and stuff like that.
Right.
Like Insidious.
Matter of fact, possession movies horror. Right now, I'm looking at some right now. Stigmata, Don't Look Away, Fallen with Denzel Washington.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that was a horror movie, but that was a really good movie, though. I loved that movie.
Yeah,
I remember that. But it wasn't horror. I wouldn't consider that horror.
Wasn't horror. It's more like suspense, if anything.
Yeah.
Annabelle, they're saying. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess.
Yes. Yeah. But it seems like the top tier is those, like you said, the Exorcist type I'm seeing the Lazarus effect. Never seen that.
Blair Witch Project was kind of possession-ish.
Never seen
that. What? You haven't? Man, that movie is so iconic because like it's almost like it started the whole found footage type, movie genre. Like, it was great because people thought, I remember I was like in high school and everybody was like, oh my God, I think it's real, you know, because you didn't never seen these actors before. Who are these people? You know, so we all thought it was real just to find out that it really wasn't.
That was the chatter. I remember back then that was like 99. So I was like going to ninth grade that fall. I was like, okay, is this real or not? And I meant to watch it, but so much time had passed and it was spoiled to me then that it's not real. And I said, okay, I'll get to it when I get to it then. And it's been 26 years later. I never got around to it. So I do need to get around to watching it, but I never did. I never saw the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. Found footage movies I like those. Those are great movies. They're interesting.
Do you classify, speaking of found footage, I was watching Cloverfield the other night.
Yes.
Do you treat monster movies as horror movies, or are they the separate thing?
I mean, it depends on the... Cloverfield was kind of like a monster movie.
Right, right.
But I wouldn't consider Godzilla horror movie, you know what I mean? You know, or Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of depends, really.
Yeah, I would. But mind you, Godzilla, was there any like Godzilla lore when you were in Japan? Like, was there any like...
Oh, yeah, Godzilla's everywhere.
Yeah.
Godzilla's everywhere.
I could imagine. Yeah, like, I was watching an episode the other day of Black Mirror. I don't know if you ever watched Black Mirror on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen the new one, the new season yet.
For anybody who's watching, they haven't seen Black Mirror. Black Mirror is like one of those anthology shows similar to Twilight Zone. And every episode is different, but the theme of Black Mirror is it's predicated on technology. There was a season 2-3 years ago where it was a werewolf episode, and I'm not the biggest werewolf person as far as films, but that was freaking scary. That was pretty like gory. I would say more than scary.
I'm trying to remember that one.
Yeah. It was with what's her name? I don't know her name, but she's in that show Atlanta with Childish Gambino with Donald Glover.
Huh.
Your name is ZB something? ZB? I don't know her name.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I just can't remember that episode.
She was a paparazzi person in L.A. taking so many photos, and she had to go find an actress who was hiding out in the woods somewhere in a cabin to herself, and she had to go find her and take photos. She was broke, and she needed the money. And lo and behold, she finds out, oh my God, this person's chained up. Why they're chained up? And then lo and behold, they're self-chained because they're going through a cycle of being a werewolf.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I think for me, speaking of Black Mirror, to go on a sidebar tangent, the most scary, it is a horror episode, the most scary episode I ever had of Black Mirror. It's this episode called Metalhead. And basically it's about a robotic dog that like basically post-apocalyptic, and the dogs, those robot dogs, they have turned on humans and just out killing humans left and right. And you would love it because it's non-stop action, non-stop killing. There is no...
Is that the new season?
No, we're talking like...
Damn. Because I've seen every episode, but, you know, at the same time, I was probably stoned when I was watching it.
There you go. There you go.
Damn.
And it's like a, I don't know, 2018, 2019, I don't know. But it's a black and white episode. It's black and white. It's just non-stop pulsating action. Like you can't even like grab something or go to the bathroom. You cannot now. You have to watch it. But yeah, it's like, and the reason why it's scary also, coming back to Last of Us, is because they have those dogs now in like Massachusetts with the cops. Like they have, and MIT and colleges, they have these dogs, these robotic dogs. They're not real dogs with like faces and stuff, but they call them dogs because they're four-legged machines that they have to help. They help cops. They help help assist old people. They do like labor for people, but in the show they turn on people and they have like knives inside their arms and they wild out. So if you're into that, Metalhead, you would like Metalhead, I think, on that name of the episode. But yeah, I like a little wrinkle in my horror. So like I've slowly stopped watching straight slashers unless the villain is that much either charismatic or the story's fire. So I haven't had that in a while. I don't know about you. What's the last horror movie that's like really like giving you like that's really like outside of like Sinners.
There was one movie. It was a B movie. I was very surprised. Like it started out pretty slow. It was, man, what was it called? It was done. It was made during COVID.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was made during COVID. And you could tell because it was all, they were all in, it was like a Zoom. They were all like on Zoom and they were doing a seance, a Zoom seance. And there was four people. And, yeah, they were all on Zoom. Nobody was really in a room together. Like the whole movie was through Zoom. I'm like, okay.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I forgot what it was called, but it was kind of going slow. I was like, okay, this is just whatever. And they had the seance woman. She just up and disappeared. And then one chick, she was pretending that, you know, something had happened. And I guess from her pretending that a ghost had entered her room, it unlocked some type of portal. And something actually did enter the room and it entered everybody's room and they were just dying left and right. And it was actually like, it was a lot of jump scares and every single scene, like it was crazy. Like it was pure excitement. It just like started getting real exciting all of a sudden. I was like, damn, like it was shockingly pretty good.
Sounds familiar, but I, if you get the name, let me know.
I don't know what it's called, man.
Man, it sounds familiar. By the way, sidebar, COVID, I don't know how it was for you. It was a weird time here in New York.
That was, and it went by so fast.
Yeah. It went by fast. It seems like it just happened yesterday, but it's been 5 years. I don't know what it was like for you in Wisconsin as far as regulations and whatnot, but here it was like it was like dead stop. No one's outside. The streets were clear. No traffic.
Yeah, it was so weird. I remember being outside with my neighbor, and when we were looking down, we have this busy street. It's called Brady Street, and it's usually really busy because there's a whole bunch of bars and restaurants, and it's always pretty live. And it was just, there wasn't a soul on that street. It was so quiet. I remember it was the quietest it's ever been because it's usually pretty noisy. And man, there was no traffic.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy. Like I had to work. Like I was going to work every day. Like work life did not change for me in any way, shape, or form.
No kidding.
In any way. But the whole wearing masks and running out of toilet paper and hand sanitizer, people acting crazy over, you know, having to get, you know, computer gear and stuff like, oh, man, because I worked at Office Depot at that time and people were acting a fool at that store. Oh, my gosh.
Like crabs in a bucket, doggy dog mentality? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, they were just coming. Everybody had an attitude. They were just so angry, which, I mean, I get, you know, it was a stressful time, but it is not my fault that you didn't come in early enough to get the toilet paper.
Right.
Or the fact that we only get 3 computer monitors at a time every week, you know?
Right.
Like, that's not on me.
Right.
As you're going to have to blame the company, you know, but at the same time, people are ordering these things left and right too. So the company can't send what they don't have.
Right.
If everybody's ordering it all up, you know, exactly. Everything was on back order. Headphones, you know, computer headphones, back order. Webcam. Oh my God. Webcams gone.
Of course.
Man, people were stealing left and right. Printers gone, you know, just ridiculous.
I can imagine, man, what a time. I now call COVID BC, before COVID, like, so I do life before COVID and not life after. So yeah, here in New York, you know, like Manhattan for a while was that like an American epicenter of it. So like you would see like all these bodies.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you would see all these bodies and ice cream trucks being piled up. And
oh, that was just horrible.
It was just a wild time over here. And like you said, streets were clear, especially for a city of 8 million people. So for the world to be clear.
Yeah, like, that's weird.
It was very weird. Very dystopia-like, you know, post-apocalyptic, which also had me like,
hey, right.
This is what I watch on TV. This is what I like, actually. But obviously, it was grim. I just remember saying to myself, like, wow, life is pretty fragile.
Yeah.
Especially for, like, I remember back in, like, the fall of 2019, fall and winter, there was talks about COVID. But I guess Trump wasn't taking it seriously. So there was like not a lot of like awareness about it too much. So I remember a colleague of mine, she's older than me, her husband had gotten under the weather. Mm-hmm. And it's like December time. And she said, hey, come by the hospital. Come visit him. He's feeling under the weather. I want to go see him. I'm like, hey, what's up? And the doctor's like, we can't explain it. We don't know what this is. We don't know what's going on. And then he didn't make it. Unfortunately, we were all like, is this that thing? Is this that what this is? And then like by March, it was like, yeah, we got shut down for like a few weeks at work. I'm like, all right. And that didn't last. That didn't end till like freaking, you know, July. Well, not really. September, I went back to work. So mind you, I got a baldy. I'm a bald head person. I didn't go to the barbershop for like, or I didn't shave for like months. So like me in July was just George Jefferson. Like, it was just straight crazy. You know what I mean? What do I care? I'm not going outside.
Right.
I mean, I ride my bike everywhere, but I got a hat on. So who cares? So, it was a weird time. But me and my boy, Jeff, shout out to Jeff, if you're listening, we had this like running joke where it's like, I kind of missed the pandemic, or I kind of missed shutting down for like a month or two, just like in solitude away from people. Like,
right. It was peaceful.
Yeah,
it was peaceful.
Not at the expense of people's lives, of course.
Right, yeah, that was really bad. That sucks. Very unfortunate. No,
but otherwise, sidebar. Speaking of monsters / maybe aliens, I'm pretty fond of, this is horror or suspense, maybe. I'm pretty fond of the Quiet Day or Quiet, what's it called?
The Quiet Place?
Quiet Place series.
I haven't seen those yet.
You haven't seen those?
No, I haven't. There's how many of those? Like two or three of them?
There's two linear ones, and then one like not prequel, but like offshoot, like another storyline.
Right.
But you haven't seen those.
No, yeah. I haven't seen those.
Check them out.
There's a whole bunch I haven't seen, but I've seen a whole bunch of scary movies, but there's some good ones that I have not seen.
What's one that you could think about if you can? I know it's on the spot, but one that you feel like I haven't seen that yet, but it's on my list.
Hellraiser movies that you had mentioned.
Hellraiser. The reason why
I haven't seen those, because I remember my mom, she's like, I don't want to watch Hellraiser movies. I've always been afraid of them. So ever since then, we never watched a Hellraiser movie. And since then, I've never watched it, even though I'm all the way grown now.
Right, yeah, right.
You know, a Hellraiser movies. What else? Gosh, I don't know. What else? I know there's plenty. I do want to eventually see the newer Scream movies because I know that they're doing really well. So that's got to mean something.
Yeah, you would think.
You know, to where they keep making more.
Right, right. I watched Scream 4, which is like maybe like 10, 15 years now.
Oh yeah, I seen that one.
Then I watched maybe I watched one more after, but then there was a New York one. I didn't see that for sure. I didn't see that.
I seen 4. I wasn't too fond of it.
Me neither.
I wasn't too fond of it.
This summer they're it stuck up on me. I didn't realize this, but this summer they're releasing a remake of I Know What You Did.
Yeah. See, I don't know how summer. I feel about that.
Me neither.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Sidebar.
I really don't.
Sidebar. Back in the day, I didn't mind the first one because anything Jennifer Love Hewitt in the 90s, I was there for.
Yeah, she did have it going on.
You know, for white women,
then.
For white girls, that's kind of top notch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I didn't mind her. But,
and she had no problems either.
Yeah. She wasn't really scandalous.
Right. You know,
the worst she did
wasn't a hater or anything like that.
The worst she did was date Carson Daly. What are you going to do?
Right. Yeah. Like, that wasn't anything.
So, but back then, yeah, I liked that. I know what you did last summer, but I'm like, a remake? Really? I guess
yeah.
I would need their money, I guess. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
It's like they're running out of ideas.
Yeah, the lack of IP in the last 20 years and just everything has really shown a drought that's just sufferable. You know, no more inventive, creative. Not just horror, but any movie, you know. Long gone are the days of going to Blockbuster and
Blockbuster.
You know?
Blockbuster was great.
Just saying that word. What a magical time on a Friday night. Just go to Blockbuster and just.
I still have my Blockbuster card.
You do?
Well, I will not give it up.
Man, I lost mine maybe like 10 years ago.
I will not give it up.
It was a badge of honor just to go on a Friday night, and my dad, my dad be like, all right, you get two in a game. I'm like, word? All right.
My dad would always tell me and my siblings, like, hurry up, go over there to the scary movie section and hurry up and get the new release.
Yeah, new release, yep.
Hurry up and get the new release, because he would be at work and we would, you know, right after school, we would go straight over there, go and grab the movies, and he would, we would have his pass, and he would get us passes, Blockbuster cards. We would go and we would go over there and get them.
And funny, 25, 30 years ago, it was probably a chore to be like, oh, man, let me rewind this real quick before I go back. Now it's like, I wish I could have that.
Right.
That annoyance of just rewinding the tape and having that whole experience of, you know, you never know what you got till it's gone.
Right. And it just the way it just phased out was just crazy with DVDs, and DVDs are phasing out.
DVDs are phased out. Now it's all streaming, which, you know, not for nothing. It's scary because we're relying on streaming now for everything, and you don't own it no more. You don't own.
Right.
These, you know, for the record, they're coming out with a new 28 years later, the zombie movie. Remember, you know, 28
Days. Yeah.
And so there was 28 days later, then there was 28 months later, and now there's, or 28 weeks later, whatever. And now there's 28 years later coming out this summer, this month. And I was trying to rewatch the original 28 Days Later, and you cannot watch it. And the reason I cannot watch it is because there was some drama with the studios, either the distributor or the publisher. No matter what, they can't agree upon something, so the movie cannot be streamed anywhere. You have to either you illegally rip it from, like, you know, online, maybe on a torrent.
Cody,
shout out to Cody, shout out to Amazon, or you can't watch it. And that sucks, man. You should be able to own certain movies that are either classics or semi-classics. So it just shows how, like, we've kind of given up the idea of ownership to these streaming services, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah. If there was a zombie apocalypse, those are the type of zombies I do not want to have.
The fast ones.
I don't want the running ones. It's like, man, I got to run.
Run too? I got to work.
I got to work to live. Like, damn.
I want Walking Dead slow zombies.
Right.
So I can just bypass and dance
exactly.
With.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I can walk. Like, I can walk. I can, you know, if I get tired, I can walk.
Zombies were like, I could do a morning jog.
Right.
Zombie, like, oh, you're not getting me today. You know what I mean? Like, no. Right. I don't want no one that never gets tired.
Yeah. Because then everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die.
It's over. You can't outrun a track star zombie.
Right. Because they're running fast. Like, how are you guys running fast? And, you know, your muscles are deteriorating, but how are you running that fast?
And God forbid you're a Jamaican or a Kenyan resident dealing with zombies. Those zombies are, they're from the Olympics.
Right.
Those are Olympic zombies. Those long legs.
That would be horrible.
I always say, this is how my mind works, this is how crazy I am. I always say, if there's a zombie apocalypse, the first thing I'm doing is going to the water. I'm like, who got a boat? Who got a little mini yacht? What rich white boy do I know?
Right.
Where's Chad?
Uh-huh.
You know, and let me rock with you and be in the sea for the next 30 years because I ain't doing land.
We got to eat. How are you going to eat? Well, I guess you can fish.
I guess you can fish, but like.
Fish.
You know,
but
like
then water, though, you'd have to be able to.
I guess now I should be learning about filtration systems out in the wild.
Yeah.
It's another thing you need. You need a homie with you who watched Discovery Channel for the last 30 years.
Right.
Or who watched Natural Geographic. Where's that friend at? Because
right. So maybe a lake.
A lake.
Fresh water. And they usually got fish in there sometimes.
Isn't it weird how whenever you watch zombie films, that animals are never infected? Not really, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how they can.
Why are you immune, Cujo? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's. Except for an I Am Legend.
Right, I Am Legend, right. And I'm hearing that they're trying to do a remake too.
It's too soon.
Yeah, it is too soon.
That's too soon. They gotta wait like 30 years to do this.
Speaking of I Am Legend, you know, when you watch that film and when you watch it on DVD, we'll just bring it back to DVDs. If you ever watch I Am Legend, you see, and now it's on YouTube, you see they have like alternate endings.
Yeah.
It could end in this way. How do you feel about that? Seeing like a different take on an ending. Do you like? Do you welcome that, or do you feel like no? I shouldn't even know that. Like whatever was given to me on theatrical screens, that's it. What do you
think? I'd rather just whatever the theatrical one is, because I'm not trying to be mad after watch. I was like, really, this could have happened? Really? Because
like, you bring up I Am Legend, and it's like there's a scene where like he does survive,
right?
And there's a butterfly reference. I'm like, what the hell? Uh-huh. So like, you know, I'm always like perplexed. Like, why do you show me this?
Right. So you trying to tell me, is there going to be another movie, a sequel?
Yeah, exactly. So this is weird. But yeah, I so you told me that right now, Hellraiser is a movie you feel like you would need to catch up on.
All of them. All the Hellraiser movies.
Right. I think they did a remake too. But I don't know about that. But yeah, but so you told me how like you kind of want to eventually start your own content series centered around maybe horror movies.
Yeah, I want to actually write my own stories and turn those into videos. I still got to learn how to actually do it. I got to read some like creepypastas and see how to properly write a decent horror.
What's a creepypasta? What's that?
It's this website where people write their own scary stories. And it's like a whole bunch. It's almost like it's like a Reddit for scary stories. Yeah.
So there's creators on there sharing their stories. And
yeah.
I'll do that later. I'm going to read some
of them. I haven't read any of them yet, but I want to use something like that and create, you know, videos. Like I want to eventually create a web series, like a web series. Like one idea that I have is a horror version of The Wizard of Oz that I want to create.
A horror version of, I wonder what that would look like. Interesting.
Yeah. And because, you know, I can use it. You can legally use The Wizard of Oz. I forgot what they call it.
It's been that many years. I know what the phrase is called. It's in my head. There's a statute for it. It's past the years of where you can use it. It's free domain, like a free domain.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm able to use it.
Public domain, I think it's public domain.
Yeah.
Public domain.
So I can use the names, but I want to actually read the book, like, to see exactly how it's actually done in the book, you know, because I know I can't use the ruby slippers because that, I guess, apparently is not in the actual book. Mm. And some of the sayings that were in the movie aren't exactly in the book. So I got to make sure I don't do that.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, it's still going to be different from, you know, the book, but I want it to at least be closer to the book than what it is, but, you know, away from the movies to where it's not like copywritten, you know, and it gets taken down and stuff like that. Right. Oh, yeah. Wicked. I haven't seen that. I like musicals, but not as much to where like I want to invest my time in it. Like if it happens to be on, like, oh, I'll enjoy it. Like, well, more like theater. Like, if I had an ex who was in theater and I really enjoyed going to them, and one of my best friends, he was in theater too, and I really enjoyed going to theater performances. I really like going to theater performances. But you know, watching movies, like I gotta be in the mood for that. Like I won't personally go, I'm gonna go and watch, you know, a musical. If somebody else puts it on, okay, I'll watch it, you know, but I'm not going out of my way to do it. Yeah, unless it's horror. A horror musical. Oh, let me see this.
Could you imagine that? A horror musical? Don't you know, I would say that could be an idea. Don't deny that. I mean, I remember in that movie, there's a comedy movie with Saving Sarah Silverman. Is that what it's called? No, not Saving Sarah. What movie is it when they're in Hawaii? There's a movie when they're in Hawaii and the guy, he's making a horror Dracula, a musical Dracula. Oh, it's killing me. It's set in Hawaii. It's with Mila Kunis. It's one of those Judd Apatow movies. Mila Kunis, Hawaii. Oh, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. So in that movie, the main character, he is he's a musician, and he makes in that movie a musical Dracula movie, a Dracula theater. And it's funny. It's funny. So don't be surprised if you see a horror one day, a horror musical. I think it'd be fire.
Yeah, I definitely would watch it.
Look at that zombie singing. But
all right. All right.
But you'll never see Freddy on Ice, though.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It was Freddy on Ice. Scream on Ice.
Scream on Ice, right. But I like your idea. I support you, and I encourage you to
do
with that. You know, start writing stories. You know, I've been reading lately some short stories, like That Country. There was a
Okay, Lovecraft Country. Okay.
Yeah, Lovecraft Country.
It is like the title. It doesn't sound like it's horror, but that's cool though. That's cool. I'll have to look that up. Definitely. Yeah.
No. It was a great horror series. Only one season on HBO. Oh. One season, but it was gory too. But it was everything, and there was monsters. It was everything, and it was dope. It was dope. Jonathan Majors is in it. I forgot the name of that actress. Justice Smollett or Journey?
Yeah.
Journey Smollett. Her brother had that issue in Chicago.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jesse.
Yeah.
We did not speak of that.
Right.
But yeah, she was in a Journey, and I would recommend that for you. I think you would like that. But yeah, like I said, I encourage you. Now, off your reference, I'm gonna check out that Creepypasta website, and I'm gonna read some of the stories, because I'm always interested to see why people, including yourself, are into horror and can think with a horror mind state. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm always wondering, like, are you okay?
Right. You know, a lot of this stuff is, you know, is coming from people's fears, like their own fears, too. Like, you know, like, what would scare me, you know, type thing.
What would scare you?
Man, everything. No, one of my biggest fears, like, one thing I want to write about, like, one thing that I do want to write about is, you ever had a sleep paralysis?
Yes, I would say that I had.
You ever had the demon?
The demon.
I looked this up. Like, I've had sleep paralysis a few times, and I've always experienced the sleep paralysis demon. And I thought it was just me. And I looked it up, like, what is this thing? And apparently multiple people have experienced the same demon. Like it's not really a demon. I don't know really what it is, but it looks like a demon. It's like this black figure with these bright eyes that is just glaring at you. It's so weird. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's scary. It's like, I don't know, but it's one thing.
You felt that or experienced that?
Both.
Wow.
Yeah. Two of the times, one, it was on the wall staring. One other time it was on my bed staring. And the other time it was on my back kneeling on me. And it's like, and it was crazy because it's like, I could feel its knees digging in my shoulders. It's so weird. Like, I know it's not real. Like, I know it's not real, but it's just such a crazy experience. Like, why? What is this? And I just remember Googling, like, am I crazy? What is this? And I just see, like, on Reddit and, you know, on Google, like, other people experiencing the same exact thing. And I just don't understand, like, what is this?
Dude.
But it's a creepy feeling.
Dude, there is a one, maybe like 4 or 5 years, no, 6, 7 years ago, BC, before COVID. I, in an old apartment, the door, late night, the door just closed violently in my bedroom, and you could see a black figure. So, is that the demon? You put a vocabulary to it that I didn't have. Is it that? Probably could be. But what you're describing to me with the eyes, especially, it's reminding me of another recommendation I have for you. Speaking of horror, it's a one series also as well. One season only series. It was on Hulu, on the Hulu network. It's a show called Monsterland. Monsterland was one season series on Hulu. Every episode is a city. So the title of the episode, it'll be a city. So the first episode was like Shreveport something. And the second episode was called Eugene, Oregon. And you reminded me of the Eugene, Oregon episode where a young man is dealing with a black figure demon. in his bedroom as he's a gamer with headphones on, trying to rock out to his gang or his friends. And I think about Monsterland, it's a horror series, and it does a great job with horror, but there is a double meaning to each episode. So I would encourage you to watch that series, including that episode, Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
For your demon connectivity. But back to your what scares you. So you're saying sleep paralysis and demons scare you.
Yeah, because when you have sleep paralysis, you can't move. So here's these demons, you know, the demons there. I can't move. I can't go nowhere, you know. And so I'm just like saying, like, oh, my God, it's a demon. And I remember one time, like, my ex had came in. I can't stand her, but she saved me. But she did me a solid and came in and opened the door, and I was able to move again, and the demon disappeared. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I couldn't move. And it was just there, just staring at me. Like, it was wild. It is really scary.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Seeing that, you know, and then you can't move. You're frozen. It's like, it's such a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Because you kind of wonder, like, was I actually awake or not, you know?
Right. I agree. I've wondered that too when I've had like crazy dreams, crazy nightmares and stuff of that nature where supernatural, maybe phenomena around me happening. I'm like, is this real? Is this happening? Am I lucid? Am I awake? And can it really affect me? Can it really touch me? And I also start wondering on a philosophical level or on a macro level, like, all right, let's say these things are real. Let's just go out there on a limb. Like what happened to me in that doorway where the door slammed and I saw that figure. Let's say that's a real being.
Right.
Is there an antithesis to that being out there? If there's something out there that's demonstrative or demon looking like, is there something on the flip side more beautiful out there helping me or guiding me or around me as well? Or is it only the weird stuff that's around me? You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
I was trying to see, is there a balance out there for everything that scares me out there? Is there a balance of something that's out there for me that's good and positive and energetic and well? If there is, I haven't seen it in a while.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm left with those thoughts. But no, man, I hear you, man. Sleep paralysis and demons, that shit is fucking bugged.
Yeah. It's like, so what goes on while I'm sleeping?
What goes on while you're sleeping?
What goes on when I'm sleeping? What is this thing while I'm trying to sleep?
Are you going to write about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to write about it. Definitely. That's definitely one thing I want to write about. It's the sleep demon or the sleep paralysis demon.
Well, I know it's getting late. We're almost like pushing 2 hours. So I want to end with this. I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the banter. I appreciate the tears.
Thank you very much. It was very therapeutic. I appreciate it.
I respect you all the more for it. I'm glad we finally got to have like a little powwow session and talk and
share. Right. It was a long time coming.
It's been like a decade and a half in the making. You think
right.
About it.
It's been a while.
A while, yeah. And I appreciate that we've been able to keep in contact all these years to build up to this moment. I only hope in the future we can even talk more and more and just stay on top of each other as far as our friendship.
Most definitely.
In the meantime, I encourage you to start writing and keep writing. And I'm excited for what's to come for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anything you want to say before I send you off?
No, just, you know, I hope this podcast blows up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do it for me and for any guests to share and exchange. It's just a release. So whether it happens or not, it's all good. But I'm just happy to have moments like this with you.
You know, that's the best way to do it. You know, you do it because, you know, you love doing it. And then anything that happens is, you know, is the bonus. It's the bonus. But I hope you get that bonus.
I hope so. But more importantly, I'm grateful for you. So on that note, Miss Nikki in the flesh, finally, or Sunny Flesh, virtual flesh. Until next time.
All right.
So all I ask is before, as you bounce out, don't exit out the website immediately because your audio has to upload. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So but on that note, have a good day. I'll see you when I see you. Until next time.
All right. Later. Have a good one.